Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and to God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has already done. And we want to welcome you to another segment of Jehovah Jireh International Institution Biblical Studies. We want you to get ready, to get your pens, paper, whatever you need in order for you to get more of God's Word. The Word of God say to study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Jehovah Jireh International is located at 5045 Sutel Drive here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we want you to know that there is a blessing with your name on it. It is always a blessing when we can study the Word of God. At this time, the Word of God says, in all of our ways, acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct our path. So will you please join me as we go into prayer? Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you and praise you. We magnify thy name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done. We thank you, Father God, for all, God, that you're going to do in this life and in the life to come. We thank you, Father God, for the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank you, Father God, for every hearer and every doer of the Word. God, your Word says to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. We thank you for truth on today. We thank you, Father God, for all that you're going to accomplish here today through the hearers of your word. Now, God, all of those that may be listening from city to city, state to state, we pray, God, that they too, God, will be in power, God, to be hearers of your word. And, God, that they won't just be hearers, but they'll be doers. And not that just be doers, but, God, that they, God, too, will go forth and they'll tell others about you through the scripture, God, through the manifestation of your word. And for this, God, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Again, we would like you to welcome you to Jehovah Jireh International Biblical Studies. We will later, at the end of our program, we will let you know some more info about Jehovah Jireh International Institution. But for right now, we're getting ready to go into our studies. Get ready. So that you can be able to gain more of the knowledge of the Word of God. Our biblical studies teacher, instructor, professor is none other than Professor Kathy Missick. You may have been listening to her throughout the month, and we want you to continue to listen and tell others about this study, the biblical study, and that how you enjoy the Word of God as it being instructed and taught. At this time, we would like to give you a chance to get your paper, pens, and whatever notebooks or whatever it may be, but we would like to say to you that you're in for a blessing. I would like to introduce to you Professor Kathy Missick.
And thank God for that wonderful and beautiful introduction. Again, welcome back to Biblical Studies. On this morning, we will be studying the book of Exodus. Would like to do a small recap on what we have already gone over. The book of Exodus is a sequel to the book of Genesis. It is just a continuation to the book of Genesis. We went over that the book of Exodus, there was about 430 years of bondage that the Israelites were in when they were in Egypt. Moses was born in 1525 B.C., and he fled for help. He fled to Midian in 1485, which made him about 40 years old. Now, he stayed there and married in the land of Midian, and he stayed there for another 40 years before the Lord had led him back. Moses was, he had an experience, an encounter with God, with the burning of the bush, and we learned on last week that that relationship with God, God showed him who he was. He showed him by way of, he introduced himself to Moses. He let Moses know that where he was, he had to approach him a certain type of way. He had to be vulnerable. He had to be without his shoes. So he had to come in some form of bearless. And we also should come before the Lord open. We should come before him bearless. And he began to introduce himself to Moses by way of letting him know who he was and his powers that he had, and that he would be with him. And he equipped Moses and with the staff, and the staff turned into a serpent. And then when he grabbed the serpent by the tail, it turned back into a staff again. He showed Moses, he told him that, put his hand into his bosom, and he pulled his hand out, and it was leprous. And when he put it back into his bosom again and pulled it out, that it was like his other hand. He also showed him to pour water onto the ground, and the water turned into wine. And these were the things he told Moses to go and show the Israelites, that they would know that he had a relationship, an encounter, and an introduction to God. Moses was concerned that the people, when he returned, that they would not believe that he was sent by God. And so God equipped Moses to inform the people, to show the people, to prove to the people that he was the God of his forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So we thank God for that. Now we will continue in our studies. Wanted to add in this week that the book of Exodus has two parts to it. The first part is the redemption from Egypt. We may have went over that last week. The redemption from Egypt, and the second part is the revelation from God. The redemption from Egypt covers chapter 1 through chapter 18. Chapters 1 through chapters 18, God is redeeming Egypt, redeeming the Israelites from Egypt, remembering that Exodus means redeem. Exodus means to be redeemed. So God was redeeming the Israelites from Egypt. Exodus being redemption. In the first chapter, it talks about how there was a need for redemption. The second through the fifth chapter talks about the preparation for the redemption. The sixth chapter through the 15th chapter talks about the redemption of Israel. The 16th chapter through to the 18th talks about the preservation of Israel. Now, chapters 19 through 40, it shows us the revelation from God. So from 19 to 32 talks about the revelation of the covenant, and from 33 to 40 talks about the response of Israel to the covenant. So again, the book of Exodus, it is divided into two parts. The first part is the redemption from Egypt, chapters 1 through chapter 18, and the second part is the revelation from God, chapters 19 through 40. Now, I wanted to give you the key chapters and the key verses of Exodus. We've already talked about the key word is redemption. But the key verses of Exodus is chapter 6, verse 6, as well as chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. So let us look at chapter 6, verse 6, to see what the key verses are. Let us turn to Exodus 6 and 6. One of the key verses, Exodus 6 and 6, reads, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and a great judgment." A stretched out arm and a great judgment. God was telling Moses to tell the children of Israel that he was going to deliver them from the burdens of the Egyptians, and he was going to rid them of their bondage, and he would redeem them with his stretched out arm and with great judgment. Let us now look at Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. "Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then ye shall be a pillar treasure, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So here again, God is instructing Moses what to tell the children of Israel in their obedience, if they were to be and continue to be obedient to the covenant that he is setting with him during this time. So God told Moses to tell them that in their obedience, that he would make them a nation, that he would keep this covenant with them, and that they would be a peculiar treasure. They would be a special people above all the people because God made the heavens and the earth. We sometimes forget that God is in control of everything, and God made all people, irregardless to how the people may act, what their faith is, what they believe, their color, their creed, their denomination, their ethnicity. God yet made all people. God made the entire earth. But God made the Israelites a special people, a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure is how he references it here, a peculiar treasure above all people. And even though we are Gentiles, we have been adopted into the faith, we too are peculiar people. We are of a royal priesthood. We have to remember that we are someone special unto God. And God loves us. And God will keep his covenant with us as we have been adopted into the faith, whereby we now call him Abba Father. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus to the kingdom of heaven. So we have to remember that we are special unto God. We are a special people, just as the Israelites were a special and peculiar treasure of people, that God was going to make them a nation, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. And he wanted Moses to tell the people that if they would keep the commandment of God, that this would be their blessing and their benefit from doing so. So we find here, let us go. So we see that those were the two key verses in the book of Exodus. The key verses in the book of Exodus. Now the key chapters for the book of Exodus would be chapter 12 and chapter 14. These are the key chapters in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and chapter 14. Remember, when we do a survey of the book, we go to each chapter and you read the first few verses of each chapter to give you a guesstimation or pretty much a flow of what that chapter is about and how to flow when you return back to read the chapter. So that's the best way to survey a book of the Bible. You take each chapter and you read the first few verses of the chapter, and that would give you a idea, a synopsis of what the chapter is about, as well as show you the flow of the chapter. So we're going to look at the key chapters in the book of Exodus, and the chapter 12 is the introduction of the Passover. The introduction of the Passover. This is when God had did the 10th and final plague on the Egyptians, and it was where that the death angel would pass over and kill the firstborn male of the land. And this was chapter 12 is the introduction of the Passover. Chapter 11 talks about that 10th plague when the death was announced. Chapter 12 is the introduction of the Passover. This is a very important and key chapter in the book of Exodus. Chapter 14 is another key chapter in the book of Exodus. And it talks about when Moses had spoken to the children of Israel, how they were encamped around Pahara. And this is when they began to have the Red Sea part, and they crossed over into dry land. So this chapter talks about how Moses, God used Moses to part the Red Sea with the staff that he had in his hand, and how Pharaoh and his army got drowned. They were defeated once and for all in the Red Sea. So chapters 14 talks about the Passover. Chapter 14 talks about the opening of the Red Sea, how God delivered them completely from bondage, whereas he told them, turn and look, for the enemy that you see, you won't see them anymore. For Pharaoh and his entire army was drowned. They were defeated in the Red Sea. For they weren't fighting against the children of Israel. They were fighting against God. Pharaoh, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But Pharaoh wasn't fighting against Moses, nor was he fighting against the children of Israel. He was fighting against God. That's why the Word of God tells us that vengeance does not belong to us. So we shouldn't repay people vengeance for their ill will against us, or their mischievous deeds, or their evil workings, or their how the enemy would use them against us. Vengeance does not belong to us. Vengeance belongs to God. The Bible tells us, and he tells us that he will repay every man. So we don't have to fight our battle. The battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. We just have to maintain our sobriety and doing what's right in the eyesight of God. Make sure what we do as unto the Lord, that God would be glorified and that the enemy, amen, would be horrified. So we know that God will fight every one of our battles. So after we've established the key verses in the book of Exodus, as well as the key chapters, again, the key verses were Exodus 6 and 6, Exodus 19, 5, and 6 are the key verses for this book. The key chapters are Exodus 12, that talks about the introduction of the Passover and all everything that that entailed, and chapter 14 was the departing of the Red Sea. Remembering that the first 18 chapters are the redemption from Egypt, and the last 19 through 40 chapters are the revelation of God. Now, in chapter 1 talks about the need for redemption, as we stated. There are three areas in chapter 1 that talked about the need for redemption, and that was Israel's rapid multiplication. Remember, I believe we spoke on last week that Israel, the Israelites grew into over 3 million people, a body of over 3 million. So Israel's rapid multiplication, Israel's severe affliction, and Israel's planned extinction. God was going to redeem them. This was the need for redemption out of Israel. They had grew into such a large people. They were severely afflicted, and there was plans for Israel's extinction when Pharaoh told the midwives to kill all of the male children, all of the boys. He wanted them killed, but the midwives feared God and wouldn't do so, in thus saving Moses. And so, therefore, this shows the need for the redemption. In chapter 2, it talks about the preparation for redemption. And this is the preparation for redemption. It talks about this in the first chapters 2 through 4. One of the, these are the reasons for the preparation of redemption. Moses is redeemed from murder, as I stated. How the midwives saved Moses, and Moses' mother fed him and hid him for 3 months before she made a basket and put him in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and called for one of her servants, and she went and retrieved Moses, and therefore Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. Moses' times to redeem by murder. This is when Moses' mother had, again, saved him. Israel's call upon God, you can find that in the second chapter. And God calls upon Moses. This is in the third chapter. When God called upon Moses, God miraculously appeared to Moses, as we stated, with the burning bush. God calls Moses to leadership when he told Moses to return to Egypt and commanded Moses what Moses was to tell the people. He instructed Moses what to tell the people, and he actually commissioned Moses in what to do. And God answered Moses' objections. When Moses said that he couldn't speak properly, he had a problem. And so often, you know, we are sometimes a lot like Moses. We look at our downfalls and our imperfections as we measure it to a holy, wise, awesome, true, miraculous God, and we see how far we fall short. And a lot of times we question our abilities to do what God had commissioned us to do because of our downfalls. But God knows that we are merely men. We were made in his image and in his likeness. God knows our shortcomings. He knows our downfalls. He knows our abilities. He knows our inabilities. He knows our limitations. But we have to know that God is everything that we need. Just as he told Moses that he was who he was, that I am that I am, we have to trust and know that God is who God said he is, and in God we can do all things. The Bible tells us in Christ Jesus we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. We know that Christ is the Son of God. He is God manifested in the flesh. So we have to know that in God, through Christ, we can do all things, and God can do anything but fail. So God answers Moses' objections in the third chapter. He tells him four things. He tells him, one, that who he is. He says, who am I? And this was Moses' objection. Moses was like, who am I to do this? And he told Moses who he was, how he could equip Moses and commission Moses. He told him that who his name was, that he was God. He told him that he would that they would, Moses felt that the people would not believe him, and God showed Moses and equipped Moses to show the people that he had had that relationship, that encounter, and that introduction with God. And as I stated, Moses was saying how his speech was slow and he stuttered. And again, that's no excuse. When God calls and commissions us, we have no excuse at all. Moses accepted the call. This is found in the fourth chapter. And in his acceptance of the calling, he returned back to Egypt and he reinstituted the circumcision. And the Israelites accepted the call of Moses as they were to be delivered. So this was in the second chapter through the fourth chapter, the preparation of the leaders for the redemption. Now, in the third part, it talks about God's redemption from Israel to Egypt. God's redemption from Israel to Egypt. Moses was confronted by Pharaoh by word. This is found in the fifth chapter, the fifth and sixth chapter. Now, this redemption of Israel from Egypt, it actually goes from the fifth chapter through to the 15th chapter. The fifth chapter through to the 15th chapter. And in this portion, it entails Moses confronting Pharaoh by word. And in doing that, there was five keynotes how Moses confronted Pharaoh by word. When he confronted Pharaoh by word, Pharaoh rejects Moses. Then the Israelites reject Moses. They got weary. Then Moses questioned God's plan. Then Moses got weary. You see how when we believe what the enemy is telling us and when we believe doubt, Pharaoh reject Moses. The Israelites began to reject Moses. And then Moses began to question God's plan. We find this in the fifth chapter. Moses reassures Israel after God reassures him. So we find in the sixth chapter that God begins to reassure Moses, and then Moses in turn was able to encourage and reassure the Israelites that God had actually sent them and that it was their time for redemption. Keep it in mind that they had been in bondage for over 400 years. It was 430 years up to this point when God was delivering them out of Egypt. So that's a long time to be in bondage, well over 400 years, and to think in a matter of days and weeks that God is going to, for some it was hard to believe that God was now finally going to hear and answer their prayer. Some of them had probably forgotten about it. Some had probably given up hope on being delivered or that it would ever come. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you really want something bad, you think that if you pray one or two times that you pray earnestly and God heard you and you felt the release in your prayer, that you know God heard your prayer and you begin to look for the answer to the prayer for him to move on the prayer, and it doesn't happen. And you continue to pray, and it still doesn't happen. And then the enemy begins to play with, speak little seeds, little voices, or put seeds of disbelief or doubt in your mind, and you think, well, it's not going to ever happen, or maybe I'm doing something wrong, or maybe God just didn't hear me. You begin to listen to the voice of the enemy and began to get discouraged. And I believe this is what the children of Israel, they began to get discouraged. And then when it finally happened, they were in disbelief. They probably had some hope, again, because God told Moses what to do when he go to tell the people that he was sent by God to redeem them out of bondage. And he knew they weren't going to believe him because Moses had already fled 40 years prior. He knew conditions hadn't changed that much. If anything, had gotten worse. So he knew that they were not going to believe him. So with the three miracles that God had told Moses what to do, showed Moses how to show the people, and that was turning the rod from a rod to a serpent and back to a rod again, the leprosy with his hand, putting it in his bosom and pulling it back out, and his hand was fine. It was like as the other hand was. And then pouring the water onto the ground and the water turning into blood. So naturally, with these three miraculous miracles, they would surely believe that God was with Moses. And they did. Then, but when Pharaoh began to reject Moses, then it brought discord. The people began to reject Moses. Moses began to question God. God encourages Moses. Moses then encouraged the people. And then Moses confronts Pharaoh with the miracles. So in chapter 5, he went to Pharaoh by word. That worked not as well as he thought, that Pharaoh was just going to let the people go. Now in chapter 6, after God encourages him, he encourages the people. Now he begins to show the miracles, show forth the miracles of God to Pharaoh. And God recommissions Moses in chapter 6, and Moses' objections, and God reassures Moses that he was with him. And Aaron's rod in chapter 7 is the first when he put the rod down before Pharaoh and the courts of Pharaoh, and it turned into a snake. And then Pharaoh's magicians were able to do the same thing. But then Moses' rod swallowed up Pharaoh's serpents and their rods, and his rod became bigger. So that was in chapter 7. Now further in chapter 7, going into through chapter 11, talks about the plagues. There were 10 plagues. There were 10 plagues. And these plagues were very significant as to why God used these particular plagues. Now, the first plague was the plague of blood. The first plague was the plague of blood. The second plague was the plague of frogs. The third plague were the mice. I'm sorry, the lice. The fourth plague were the flies. The fifth plague were disease of the beast. The sixth plague was the boils on man and beast. The seventh plague was the hail. The eighth plague was the locust. The ninth plague were the darkness. And the 10th plague was the death announced. Now, these plagues were very significant. They were very significant because these plagues represented the gods that Pharaoh in Egypt, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians believed in. They believed in different gods. So therefore, God showed them that their gods were no match to him. Their gods were no match to him. Israel was redeemed by the blood through the Passover. That's why chapter 12 was very significant in the book of Exodus, because it was very a key point for their redemption. A key point for their redemption. They were redeemed by the blood during the Passover. And this talks about in chapters 12, it talks about the introduction of the Passover, the preparation of the Passover, the redemption through the Passover, and freedom because of the Passover, as well as the sanctification as a result of the Passover. The Israelites were also redeemed by the power from Egypt. They were redeemed by the power from Egypt, and this entails chapters 13 through 15. This is the latter part, but chapters 13 through 15, it talks about how they were redeemed by the power from Egypt. God leads Israel out. Pharaoh follows Israel. Then Israel rebels against God in chapter 14. God opens up the Red Sea, because the Israelites were very afraid when they saw Pharaoh pursuing behind them. And they began to rebel, argue, complain to Moses, and they were rebelling against God. God opens up the Red Sea, and the final of it is that Israel began to praise God for the redemption, how God redeemed them out of the hand of the enemy. Now the last portion would be how God preserved Israel in the wilderness. God preserved Israel in the wilderness. This is the last portion of the first part, and this is found in chapters 15 through to 18. He preserved them from thirst when he struck the rock. He instructed Moses to strike the rock, and water came out of the rock. He preserved them from hunger. He preserved them again from hunger when manna and the ravens, manna can't fell from heaven, and then they wanted meat. So then he allowed the quails to come in, and they had meat in the camp with the quails. Then he preserved them again from thirst, and this is when he instructs Moses to speak to the rock. Moses did not speak to the rock this time in chapter 17. Moses struck the rock because the people wearied him and because he had indignation in his heart. And when Moses struck the rock as opposed to speaking to the rock as God had instructed Moses, that caused Moses not to go to heaven, not to cross over into the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. That prevented Moses from crossing over because Moses had sinned against God. Moses' indignation and Moses' rebel against God, it wasn't against the people, but he caused the people to make his heart so weary so that Moses would not, God told Moses he would see it, but he would not pass over into it. Moses, the defeat, God preserved them from defeat from the other nations that were around them. God would not allow them to be defeated. God had them, Moses had two servants, one on each side that would hold up his hand. And as long as his hand stayed up in the air, they were defeating the enemy. When his arms got weary and the sword and the rod began to fall, then they were being defeated. So God instructed two of the servants to hold Moses' hand up, and in doing such, we were able to defeat the enemy that was opposing us. And The 18th chapter talks about how God preserved them from chaos. We have just covered the very first half of the book of Exodus, just an oversight, an outline of what the books were entailing, what we could find in the chapters, what each chapter entailed, and the significance of it. On next Saturday, we will conclude the book of Exodus with part two, the revelation from God, where it will talk about the covenant, it'll talk about the Ten Commandments, it'll talk about the tabernacle and things of that. So until next time, may God be with you and God bless you. Thank you for being with us in the Old Testament survey. We were studying in the book of Exodus. We concluded the first half of it, the first part, chapters 1 through chapter 18. Receive ye now, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. God bless.
Thank you, Professor Kathryn Mystic, for that wonderful teaching on this morning. How rewarding, what a experience that we get to hear again the biblical teaching from the woman of God. We want you, as always, to tell your friends and your family, associates, about the biblical study. Sometimes we get so busy, we do so many things until we don't get to study the Word of God. Sometimes we get the practice of reading a verse. That's good, but not to the extent wherein that you're going to be gaining all that you can. So here is an opportunity. It doesn't take you long, it doesn't take a lot of hours out of your daily activities to just to listen to the Word of God. Now, we have been able, by the grace of God, to be able to set up classes so that you can be able to study, to rightly divide the Word of truth. Sometimes people try to go into the Word and they try to rightly divide, but they are not able to rightly divide the Word of truth. But here at Jehovah Jireh International, we have professors that are well able to give you the teaching and instruction that you need. And as, of course, as you have heard Professor Mystic on this morning, you can see that she has a detailed knowledge of the Word of God. So what I want to let you know before closing on today, that yes, you can still be a part of Jehovah Jireh International Institution. I'm just going to let you know that the programs that are open right now, we do have the biblical studies that are being taught by Professor Kathryn Mystic. We have a Christian psychology that is held on a Thursday night from 6 to 8 by yours truly, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And then on Wednesday night, we are so blessed to be able to be a part of Faith Christian University that has campuses all over the United States. We want you to know that those classes, you can obtain your degrees. You can obtain your associate, bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree. Now, you have the opportunity. All you have to do is take the time and to enroll into this class. If you so desire your degree, please give us a call. We'll tell you how you can implement that into your life and into your schedule. It is worth, anything is worth having. It is worth spending the time and the money and the effort because of the fact that we believe here at Jehovah Jireh International that there is nothing too hard for God, and that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So you can enroll in these programs for 2017-2018. Just call 904-674-7831, and we'll be able to instruct you to let you know how you can enroll. And if you want to be a part of the degree classes, we'll be more than happy to have you as one of our students. But at this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We want to pray and cover you in the name of Jesus. Our Father God, in your name, in the name, mighty name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Father God, for our biblical study that was taught by your servant, by the woman of God, Professor Catherine Missick. We thank you, Father God, for the understanding and the revelation that you have given her to teach these classes. Now, Lord, we ask thee, God, to continually to look upon all of our other students that's on Thursday night and those, God, that you have given on Wednesday night, Father God, that they too and others, God, can take hold of your word. And God, those that in our audience, in the radio audience, Father God, our internet office audience, we pray even now your blessings upon them. And Father, we pray, God, that you will give them the desire to want more and more of you, to God, to be able, God, to expand their vision, and God, that they'll be able, Father God, to be those men and women, God, that you've called to make a difference in their lives. Yes, God, I realize that there are many people that have the vision and the desire, God, to want more of you, but God, give them that greater desire to be able to activate that desire and to be able to be a part of Jehovah Jireh International Institution. Now, Lord, bless them. God, we pray even now that you touch each and every one of them, those that may have infirmities in their bodies, those, Father God, that having issues of life. I pray, God, that you touch them even now. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you have your perspective way on today. Whatever the need is, whatever desire is, Father, I pray even now. I pray even now, God, for Faith Christian University. God, that you continue to bless the administrators. And God, that you bless the administrators, Father God, and directors, Father God, of Jehovah Jireh International Institution. And that God, we thank you, Father God, for our assistant director, Captain Mystic, of our degree class. And Father, just have your way even now. Bless us, keep us, and God calls us, God, to profess your faith, profess the word of God in all that we do and all that we say. Help us, God, to be living testimony of your grace and of your mercy. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, we thank thee. You are welcome to join us on next week. Until then, may God bless and keep you and may his face shine upon you today and always.